Part 6. Inside Out. There is nothing impossible to him who will try. Alexander the Great. T-minus 12. United Nations Headquarters, Manhattan, New York. The discovery of a second shelter on New Kerguelen, previously unknown to the messengers, could have meant any one of so many things that Dan McCarthy's mind didn't even know where to start speculating. Suddenly, Leisha's earlier urgency to return home and his repeated references to enormous tensions and disagreement over how his kind should proceed made a lot more sense. Having previously assumed they were simply stunned by the human crew's confirmation of the external atmosphere's hospitality, Dan hadn't quite been sure why that would have caused as much strife as Leisha implied. The issue of the messengers being angry at the human crew's deceit now felt entirely secondary and struck Dan as easier to handle than this explosive new revelation. He could have talked New Kerguelen's council members into forgiving the crew by insisting they were merely trying to avoid raising the messengers' hopes before they knew anything for sure, he imagined, but he truly could hardly even think of where to start with this. As he looked at Leisha, whose stoic face was currently the furthest thing from exaggeratedly expressive, he tried to imagine the situation being reversed. What would that even entail, he wondered. The discovery of underground cities? Atlantis? El Dorado? Evidence supporting the long-gone existence of any such mythical location would be explosive enough, but actually finding one? Nothing buried at Dortlu Tepe or anywhere else could ever come close to having the same impact as a new world being discovered. And for all intents and purposes, that really was what the second shelter was, Dan considered, given that the messengers had been confined to their shelter for so long, with seemingly no idea that anything other than an irradiated or noxious wasteland lay outside. One planet, two worlds. Two worlds at least, his mind reflected. For much like contact with the messengers had increased the likelihood in many human minds that a second extraterrestrial race could be out there, now that the dam had been broken and a new shelter found on New Kerguelen, Dan's mind automatically moved towards speculation that there could be a third. Such a thing had never crossed his mind until now, but the new context was a mind-opening one, raising all kinds of possibilities. The biggest question for Dan, and the one he was sure Leisha and his fellow messengers were fixating on while they decided how to act, was simple. Is there anyone inside? This thought excited him greatly, since a parallel population may have existed independently of the familiar messengers for more than long enough to have diverged socially and culturally, and possibly even evolutionarily and genetically, depending on the true timescale involved. Nothing could have prepared Dan for this remarkable news, but the look he saw on Billy Kendrick's face suggested that the often ridiculed archaeologist was not just more excited than Dan, but possibly more excited than anyone had ever been about anything. "Do we know if there's anyone in it?" Billy asked Leisha, cutting to the heart of the issue with one of the key questions Dan had been tossing around in his own head. "And did the camera detect any kind of linking system between the two shelters?" he added, raising one Dan hadn't considered. "Because if there is anyone inside, if our crew didn't spot any covered passageway, and if that atmosphere has been toxic for thousands of years, the beings inside could be nothing like you aside from the physical similarities. If your kind split into these distinct shelters for one reason or another, that split can only have widened in the intervening time. They're going to be, for lack of a better term, alien." Leisha didn't react in any perceptible way. "Does your society have any stories or myths of contact with another group?" Billy pushed. "Are there tales of the cataclysm that created a need for these shelters in the first place? And if you don't know these things, are they the kinds of things I'll be able to discuss with your planetary historians?" Ding and Godfrey, still failing to fully understand why Leisha had brought Billy along for this meeting, were clearly now even more surprised that he seemed to have been invited all the way to New Kerguelen. "Planetary historians?" Godfrey asked. Dan immediately jumped in. "Yeah, that's what Leisha said, but that's for when we get there. Before that, what do you know about what we're going to find? Have you seen images from the crew's camera?" Godfrey curtly shook his head, as did Ding. "The messengers held on to all of our equipment, Ding said. Leisha? Dan asked. Have you seen the second shelter? Finally, apparently after studiously measuring Dan and Billy's reactions to the news, Leisha broke his silence. He didn't actually speak out loud, of course, but on this occasion, he did make an uncharacteristic and slightly guttural sound before preparing to filter his words to each of the four humans via the table-mounted translation device. Dan dearly hoped he would soon have a deeper understanding of this and all of the messenger's other remarkable technology and the expanded scope of possibilities that came with a second shelter, even thinking these words still sent goosebumps running up his arms and legs. Well, it was almost too much to make sense of. A year, a month, or even a week earlier, Dan would have been giddy with boyish excitement. As it went, he was encouraged by the news, given the new horizon it provided in his attempt to cure Piper's uplift-related affliction. Leisha's gut feeling on the whole issue was something Dan wanted to bring out, and this question about visual images seemed like the best place to start. He waited anxiously for the first words to flow through the cable.
I have seen nothing, Leisha revealed. But the mothership's crew has, and so has Sacco. It is a second shelter, no mistake, no false alarm. It is a second shelter, and one so close that your crew's cameras captured it from the high point of our great shelter.
And do you think anyone is inside it? Dan asked, repeating an earlier question. The question, really, now that Leisha's proverbial lips were moving.
No.
The humans exchanged wordless glances, curious as to the basis of Leisha's certainty.
But then I didn't think it existed until a few hours ago, Leisha continued. So what do I know?
Dan couldn't miss the increasing presence of contractions and linguistic flourishes in Leisha's communications. But given that he heard everything in his own mental accent, he couldn't tell if this was because he was getting increasingly used to listening to aliens, or if Leisha was getting more used to talking to humans.
What do you think of this idea, Leisha?
Billy chimed in, piquing Dan's curiosity with the tone as much as the words.
What if it was a backup shelter that has been lost to memory? And what if there are more elders in there, ones that still work?
Dan gulped at the enormity of what this suggestion implied. Billy Kendrick, crazy as he sometimes was, might well have just cracked it.